Welcome to Shooting the Bull. I think I'm cutting the podcast or the intro out from now on because I sound like a 18-year-old, which I was. So
Dude,
no more
I was just
intro
about
for
to,
Shooting the Bull.
I was just about to say you sound like a little kid. No offense.
Yep.
But that's okay. That's okay. Humble beginnings.
Yes. So no more intro until I make a new one. If I make a new one, you don't really need them. That Barry skips past it anyways, I bet. So.
They've heard your voice. What? How many episodes are we on?
Hey man, this can be a first time listener listening right now.
That's true. What's up, first time listener?
What's up? What's up, everybody listening on the way to work, on a run, at work? I know that Nick's up, messaged me, said I listened to the podcast at work. So there you go.
Dang.
Thanks for listening, Nick. Shout out to Nick. I did some training with him for the Hotter Than Hell 100, and I kind of rode the Hotter. Well, yeah, we did ride the Hotter Than Hell 100 together. I ended up catching up with him. So,
Dang.
it was 110 degrees that day.
I
Crazy.
remember you don't gotta tell me twice. I remember.
Anyways,
Remember.
what's our topic for the day, Asher?
Well, see, I wanted to talk about chocolate milk and how it's my favorite recovery drink, but I think you
No.
shut that down. I think
Yep.
you think that's too small a topic, probably. So
Too small.
it is what it is. No, dude, fourth iteration of the Chupacabra coming up. That's got me excited. I saw your post about it the other day. Saw the pictures up on the interwebs. And doggone, man. 4 years since we ran that race or put it on, and I guess I've been. Have I been to all of them?
All the Chupacabras,
2021, 2022, 2023. Doggone, dude.
yeah, son, and probably 2024. I'll probably fly you out because our usual assistant race director, Frank, he's running the race. So, yep,
Gotcha, gotcha.
Carly's halfway prego, so she can't really do much. So, I'm
You've got a half race director in her, quarter race director.
yeah,
Maybe.
so. I'm seriously thinking about flying you out. Are you actually down for that?
I'm down. See,
Okay.
that's the awesome thing, Brisson, about having friends like me is, I'm down for an adventure. I'm down for spontaneity to come help a brother out. So, yeah, I'm down.
Okay. Yeah, I'll fly you out on. I'm actually thinking Wednesday now because we head out there Wednesday. So I'll swing by the airport and pick you up. So, or I might just fly you out to Tyler or something, so that way it's easier to get in and out with the trailer, So, because
Yeah,
I got a big
true.
old trailer now, son.
Is this the first race you're doing with a new trailer?
No, I've had the new trailer. We
Okay.
went from a 6x12. Those listening, if you're listening, you don't even know what we're talking about. Let me explain. Okay, we put on races. That's what Texcel Running Company is. We're a racing company, so we put on the best races in the state of Texas, all over the state of Texas, and we put on the most races in the state of Texas. And so we travel to these and we take our trailers because in the trailer is our tents and our tables and our aid station food and our waters and all that good stuff. So with that being said, I had a 6x12 trailer, 6x12 foot, and it was great. But we quickly ran out of room. So then I hopped into and got a 7x16 foot trailer. So,
And that, my friends, is a big old trailer compared to what we started with.
yes.
Probably
Yeah.
two and a half of them, huh?
Started with a 4x8 farm trailer that my dad got off some guy's land for $1,000. So,
No.
anyways, there's the history of the trailer. But now one thing I wanted to talk about is why a sport so simple as running is so expensive. Because,
All right.
running, slap on some $100 shoes, not even that, get them on sale for $80. Go run, man. Boom, you runner. You in the sport. Now, where it gets expensive is actually the fun of the sport, which is the actual race side of it. That's the side that you actually like train for and keeps you going. Because if you ain't got a race on the calendar like me and Asher right now, you're a little slow on your training. So
when you're I got a race on the calendar, but Brisson needs to throw one on.
What are you talking about, man? We're doing the that one in Dallas together, the relay.
No, that's true. That's true.
In July, right?
Well, we need to sign up. Let's do it.
I'll sign us up.
Do it.
I'll tell you later.
But yeah, man. I think it's such a, and we've talked about this before, it's such a simple sport, but you can make it really expensive. And that's the case with most things. Like you could buy a football and go play football with your buddies down at the park, but if you want the experience of the sport, it requires gear and teams and games and everything else. So
yeah. Man, it's kind of expensive. We got running watches, running hats, running shorts, shoes. Yep. Plus you got races, you got to pay the registration fee. Sometimes you got to pay for hotels, food to get there, gas. Dang, dude. Runs the bill up a little bit. But hey, you know what? That's what makes it fun, though. So, I mean, you got to do it. I mean.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, this is the case with me. Every race that I've done, every single race that I've paid for and done, I've gained enjoyment and experience and stories out of it that far superseded the cost of whatever I was doing. Like, for example, the Virginia Beach Half Marathon 2021. I bought a plane ticket out to Virginia from Arkansas that, you know, cost me more money than I probably wanted to spend. Meals when I was out there, race registration, you know, the whole nine. And I don't even know what I spent, but I know that that experience was freaking awesome and I would go do it again in a heartbeat. So I think that's where most runners' heads are when it comes to that $150 registration fee or those $220 shoes or whatever it is, or that $400 plane ticket out to Boston to run the darn Boston Marathon.
Dude, I heard that race is expensive, dude.
Yep.
It's like thousands of dollars if you want to go over in Boston.
Yep. It's crazy.
Yeah. You know, but that brings us to the top three ways to save money in the sport of running.
Woo!
So, I'll start off with number one. Number one is we're gonna start with the shoes because that's an easy one. But find some shoes on clearance or on sale or on Amazon. So I'm an ultra wearer. I wear ultra running shoes. And if you go on anywhere, pretty much, they're super expensive. But if you go on Amazon, they sell old models. Like people like bulk stock them up and they sell them on there. They're like 70, 80, 90 bucks.
Yep.
So just buying stuff on sale. That one's simple. But let's get to number two, the more interesting one, races. Because you need something to train for. And these races are expensive. So I think the best way to save money on races is number one, run races within your local area that you don't have to, you know, spend money on hotel or a lot of money on gas. So find some stuff in your area. And then also volunteer at some local stuff. And then you don't got to pay for your race entries. So let's say, for example, you live in, let's just put one out there. You live in Waco, Texas. Okay, let's pretend you live in Waco, Texas. Well, in Waco, Texas, there's plenty of races. At least you can at least find one. Like, it doesn't matter where you live, you can find at least one, unless you live out west Texas, like way out there by El Paso area. Yeah, good luck. But if you live, you know, pretty much anywhere generally, it doesn't matter where you are. If you live in a decent sized town, you're probably going to have at least one organized run a year. So volunteer at that race first year. And then next year, run the race, and it's one, it's free, and two, it's in your own town or around your own town. You can travel for those things. So I think that's like creative ways to do it. And just not get caught up in the hype of all the other races everybody's doing. Oh man, I'm going out to California to do this marathon. It's like I'm
Yeah.
going out to my town to run a marathon, you know?
Yep.
And then so those are the top two. And then the third way to save money on running is to use your phone to track your distance. Because watches will run you a bill, you know, $600, $800,000. Yeah, you get them on sale for about $200, but if you want a good one, you know, it's expensive. Just use your $600, $800,000 iPhone or whatever you got and download the Strava app and record it on there. Boom.
That's good.
How you
Yeah.
do it. So those are my top three ways. Ashley, got anything to add on that?
Well, the third one, I was up in Virginia this weekend for the first time in forever. I forgot my watch for my run. And I was like, oh, I got my phone. And honestly, I kind of enjoyed it. I kind of enjoyed having my phone, not only to listen to music, but just to track my run. And it was not as easy as, pressing stop and start on, it's got a physical button. I actually had to open up the app and press stop and start and resume and all that. But yeah, your phone's a convenient tool. So if you don't want to go drop, like Preston's saying, 200, 300, $400, you don't have to.
It
You
was
got you a
six.
tool.
It was 600, 800, 1,000. That was my
Okay. Well,
ranges.
I guess if you're dropping that much, maybe you got some money to spend. So maybe you can afford the accessories, but for everybody else, 200, 300, 400, you don't got it. Use your phone. It's already a tool that you probably use all the time anyway. So yeah. Oh, and then I was gonna say, man, I think one of the things that a lot of probably our listeners run into is, well, maybe, is just not having late races in their local area. 'Cause I mean, you grew up in, close to Dallas, and I'm sure Gainesville had at least a race, right?
Honestly, bro, looking back, I don't think I ever ran one race in Gainesville. It's kind of hard to know when stuff was because no
Yeah.
one would post it up anywhere, like to where everybody would know. So apparently, there's been a half marathon there for who knows how long, and I never knew. So,
Really?
yeah.
Okay. Well, for a lot of people, they live rurally. Or just in places where it's like, oh, I've got the local 5K, but that's not the distance I'm necessarily trained for or want to run. I'd rather run upwards of a half marathon. And so they have to go out of their way. But one of the suggestions I was going to make, man, is there are so many freaking state parks, national forests, national parks around, just the US in general. That you'd probably find a campground, camping spot that's relatively close to the race for pretty cheap, as opposed to buying a hotel. And I've done that before, for a trail race, and that was, way more fun than staying in some hotel and having to do the run around in the morning, check out, and all that stuff. I guess it is nice to have a shower afterwards, but bah.
Bro, you ain't got to check out of a hotel. You just walk out. What are you talking about?
I guess that's true. So, side story on that, Mackenzie this weekend, she checked us out of a hotel, and I was like, or we missed our flight coming back from Virginia, and so we had to get a hotel and stay somewhere. So Monday morning, we were like waiting for the bus to take us back to the airport real early, like 5:30, and she goes up, she walks to the front desk, and she's like, "Hey, we're here to I'm checking out." I'm thinking to myself, I think you have to check out. I think we could just leave.
Yeah.
And but I think she wanted to return the key card. So good for her.
They usually got boxes you can just throw them in. Nah, I just
Yeah.
walk out, son. I ain't
That's
stopping and asking. Hey, can I
how I
check?
am.
No, I'm out of there, dude.
That's how I am, man. But
And
whatever.
then, yeah. But even with campgrounds, though, you can still shower at the camp showers.
Yeah,
Still feel
exactly.
good. So, hey, we make it work. And I would say one thing that a lot of people may not realize is the amount of money you spend on food being a runner, dude. Like I, for me to gain the weight I want to gain, like and be a good healthy weight, I got to spend an extra like $60 a month on food. Because I'm burning all the calories, dude. I'm burning the gas every day. I'm burning my gas on my body. And that food is the
Yeah.
gas. I got to refill, you know? And so I spend a lot of money on food, dude.
Yeah.
Runs the bill up.
All I'm gonna say is bananas and peanut butter. If that's not part of your diet as a runner, maybe you're allergic to peanut butter. Maybe you're allergic to bananas. I don't think I've, yeah. Anyways, bananas, peanut butter. It's got to be a part of your diet. Cheap, easy, calorically dense. And that's it.
There you go.
If you ain't making a peanut butter and honey sandwich or peanut butter and jelly sandwich at least once a week for yourself as a runner, you're spending too much money on food.
Kai coming at me. I sure haven't had a peanut butter honey stuff in a while.
No.
I need to. I got peanut butter. That's it, though.
One more thing I do want to say and talk about real quick is I've been going on this thing which I'm calling the Bible diet. So I'm sure you're familiar with the land of milk and honey, right? So I figured to myself, I'm like, well, if they were talking about milk and they're talking about honey, 6,000 years ago, then it's still got to be good for us today. So I've been going to the store and buying gallons of whole milk and just drinking big old glasses and eating as much honey as I can. I call it the Bible diet. And so Mackenzie called me out the other day. She was like, well, what about all the other food you're eating? Because I was eating a bag of Takis whenever I was telling her about it. And I was like, yeah, I guess this wasn't in the Bible, was it? She was like, I don't think so.
The talk is so bad for you, bro.
I know. So I kind of offset my goals, but
Well, I know I heard actually like the regular milk you got at the store ain't even really the best for you because it doesn't have all the stuff that's in
yep,
raw milk.
it's pasteurized. Yep.
Yeah, I'm gonna get me some raw milk. Wait for the dang market to open, dude. The farmer's market. Apparently it's seasonal.
Woo, nice.
Yeah. It's like I'm about to stock some stuff up in the fridge.
Well, let me know who your milk guy is. I'm all down for some unpasteurized whole milk. Done.
Man. Well, I think that's about our time limit on the podcast. So thanks for listening, y'all. If you like the podcast, give us a rating. There's some stars up there you can click. Give us five of them. More stars we get, the bigger we are. So, anyways, Asher.
Happy trails, y'all. Hopefully, I saw some of you at the Chupacabra this weekend.
Yeah, we got to try to get you out there, Asher. Anywho, all right. Thanks for listening, y'all. We'll see y'all next Monday on Shooting the Bull.